Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our continued coverage of the Underground Collision, Shift Happens. And in this clip, we are joined by Cannabis Business and Law Advisory Group, Burns & Levinson's very own Katrina Skinner, and DX Consulting's Deirdre O'Gorman, and Green Check Verified's Mike Kennedy. And they're all talking about cannabis banking, cannabis lending, all the opportunities out there for credit unions. So check it out.
Hi, I'm Katrina Skinner. I'm a field reporter for the Underground Collision. I'm coming from Denver, Colorado, and I have the pleasure today of speaking with two of my friends and colleagues in this industry. Deirdre O'Gorman is coming from DX Consultants, and Mike Kennedy from Green Check Verified. I've had the pleasure of working with both of them in a professional setting and for mutual clients, so I feel very confident that these two will be able to share some information and insights into the cannabis banking world, which still remains underground for many in the credit union industry. So we wanted to kind of shed some light on that. And so I've got some questions we're going to talk with them about, get some of their opinions and their perspectives on what's going on and maybe where they think things are going. So Deirdre, I'd like to go ahead and start with you and just figure out or just kind of understand, why do you even believe cannabis banking should be offered?
Absolutely. So we're seeing most financial institutions hang their comfort level or their assessment of risk on the FinCEN guidance. So back in 2013, we had the Department of Justice giving us a Cole Memorandum, which basically provided an outline for attorneys general on what were enforceable actions, right, for states that had legalization on the cannabis side. And so following that, in 2014, we had the FinCEN guidance issued by the Department of Treasury that really was trying to promote transparency in banking for these businesses because they want the information, they want the data, and they want to make sure that these businesses are complying with BSA and AML rules. And so for the financial institutions that are in this space, although the memorandum was ended, the FinCEN guidance still remains, and that's typically what we default to for when financial institutions are approaching compliance and the enhanced due diligence in this space.
Okay. And Mike, what about you? Why do you think cannabis banking should even be offered by financial institutions?
Well, I think it's, I'll go sort of a different altitude than Deirdre. Certainly your expertise speaks for itself, but sort of where we come at it from is that community financial institutions, and particularly credit unions, are chartered to serve the businesses and the members in their community, right? And these cannabis businesses are they're unbanked or underbanked in many markets, and they provide a very attractive source of funding that credit unions have not only sort of a philosophical connection to in terms of these being members in their community and the underserved and what have you, but also a financial opportunity for credit unions to build a profitable line of business that targets these business types. And there is a way to do it in a compliant fashion. You can bank cannabis safely. It doesn't require some of the horror stories that you may have heard. We're thankful to some of the folks who have, come before us and, Deirdre, you, Katrina, right? You guys are trailblazers in the space. And being early adopters, you were able to learn a lot of the lessons for our industry the hard way. And that's made it easier for financial institutions now. And of course, that trend will continue. So, following the guidance from FinCEN and some of the state agencies that are starting to be more vocal about their expectations, looking to obviously enhance your compliance function overall, and particularly standing up the necessary controls for this line of business, those absolutely have to be done. But the reason why is these are underserved members of your community, and they need access to the financial products and services that other businesses may take for granted. And you can do that. You just have to make sure that you have the right environment in order to be able to offer these services to cannabis businesses.
So Deirdre, like Mike said, you've been in this space for a while. Do you agree with him that maybe after blazing some trails before, that it is easier, it's an easier path now for financial institutions that are considering getting into the space?
I do. I think Mike brings up some really key points. One of which is the NCUA. Out of all the regulators in the United States, the NCUA has been on the forefront of coming out and saying, we support credit unions that as long as they're adhering to the due diligence, you know, as their regulators be their partner in this endeavor. So that really gives a lot of, I think, peace of mind to the credit unions that are entering this space. I think additionally, like he said, the lessons learned have been very important. So the financial institutions that have come before the credit unions considering state programs is also key, because we've been able to work with regulators and work on some issues, I think, that have been anomalies, or even as the businesses start to become more sophisticated, experience that can lend a hand in the space.
So, Mike, you mentioned that if credit unions want to do this and get into this space, that they can build a profitable business. Obviously, to me, that would be one of the pros to getting into this space. What are some of the other pros that you would see if people are weighing options or trying to decide whether to get into the space? What are some of the other benefits?
Yeah, so the broad strokes are pretty clear, right? It's the financial opportunity and then the community security and safety that you're adding by getting this cash off the streets and helping these business members get access to the financial system. But there are layers to that. So it is a little bit more nuanced. So when you think about the impact to the community, you know, it's not just getting cash off the streets. And you can look at these headlines and it's terrible. Some of the things that are happening because these businesses, particularly dispensaries, have been targeted for robberies, knowing full well that, you know, the marijuana product is attractive, but it's the cash that they expect to be on hand on the premises that is more attractive to these bad actors. So that's terrible. But then also the employees, the owners, the employee spouses, right? All these sort of splintering effects that are, again, tied directly to the community that your credit union is serving, also have difficulty accessing basic financial products and services based on their interaction with the cannabis industry. So there are layers to the impact you can drive within your community, within your local economy, by serving this industry. But of course, you know, the ROI is pretty difficult to calculate there, unfortunately. So when it comes to the hard numbers, the dollars and cents, then you can start to look at, okay, how is this going to impact my cost of funds? How is this going to impact my net income? Because there is non-interest fee revenue that's being generated by these lines of business. Is there a lending opportunity, right? Not just from the liquidity perspective, but also direct lending opportunities to the cannabis businesses themselves through some, you know, bespoke lending products that, of course, come with additional costs, but can also themselves be profitable. And then what is the average return on assets for your credit union today? And if we were to look at non-interest bearing deposits and what that volume could be given your market, does that key performance indicator or another key performance indicator get impacted positively? So it's not just the balance sheet. It is overall the financial posture of the credit union can be legitimately impacted by the decision to bank cannabis. Of course, at a specific scale and with obviously the considerations that I'm sure we'll get to around the compliance and operational overhead that's required to sustain a program.
And what about you, Deirdre? What type of pros do you see in addition to those that Mike just kind of outlined for us to getting into this space?
Yeah, I think a lot of credit unions might not realize, but there's a lot of sophisticated business owners that are in this space that own multiple business, not just their cannabis license. So there's some opportunity on the commercial side if credit unions are looking to build their commercial portfolio, whether it just be on the account side, you know, operating accounts or lending opportunities for commercial lending. Are pretty prolific, and there are some states, multi-state operators, having businesses in all walks of life. So you're really exposing the credit union not only to cannabis, but then also some other market.
Thank you very much for that information, and stay tuned for more coverage of the Underground Collision here on CU Broadcast.